So we're going to start with Emilia Slavova, who teaches at the University of Sofia in Bulgaria, which is where she got her MA in English Linguistics and Literature, as well as a PhD in Sociolinguistics. Emilia teaches sociolinguistics, intercultural communication, globalization, multiculturalism, and plurilingualism, as well as other communication-related courses. She wrote her doctoral dissertation on politeness in English and Bulgarian. Her more recent research interests are in English as a lingua franca, world Englishes, multicultural London English, and plurilingual and translingual practices. Her more recent work is on language and gender-neutral language, inclusive language, which, as you know, is language that avoids using expressions that might exclude part of the population, as in people like me. And also, she works on current anti-feminist movements. So today she's going to talk to us about translating gender, transgressing reason, and Judith Butler in Bulgarian public discourse. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hello, everybody. Let me know if I speak too fast, so I can slow down. And I would like to begin, first of all, by explaining the weird title of my talk, because everybody in Bulgaria would understand what that means, but I was told, and it's pretty obvious, that from a foreign perspective, it makes no sense to say, I don't want my children to be genders. So before I begin, I want you to try to guess what could gender mean in this context. Why don't people want their children to be genders? Any idea what gender could mean? Yeah?
Unassigned role.
Sorry?
Unassigned.
Unassigned gender role. So more like agender, a person without a gender. Gender in Bulgarian has come to mean a person without a gender, a person with ambiguous gender. A person who is gay, a person who is trans, who is intersex, and very often also a liberal person who supports people with fluid gender identities. So it's a word that has acquired a very different meaning from its original meaning. And of course, we have the word gender in Bulgarian as well as in English. It means the same. It means the social and cultural aspects of being a man and a woman. Of being feminine, what it means to be feminine, being what it means to be masculine. And of course, these things are culturally specific and historically sensitive. Being a man in the 21st century is not what being a man in the 19th century meant, of course. But some people believe that gender is something fixed, and even that gender doesn't exist, that it's something imagined, that some naughty liberals invented this word, and the only thing that exists is sex, and this is biological sex, and that it is binary, or either or, there's no option between, and gender is something that happens in people's heads, you know, some psychological diverting from realities, from biological realities. So recently science has told us that even biological sex is not that clear-cut, that there are a lot of nuances in biology, that people can have the external genitalia of a man or a woman, but could have a different hormonal makeup, which puts them in a slightly in a different category. People could have different internal sexual organs, ovaries or testicles, which may be hidden, and so you may not realize. This is something that I was quite shocked to find out not long ago, to realize that even biological sex was not so clear-cut and binary, but it's also a spectrum. And there are lots of nuances at the biological level, it seems. But some people believe that biology is very clear about who is a man and who is a woman, and that gender is kind of a parasite, a parasitic word, an ideology. They have a whole term for it, gender ideology. And the naughty liberals, as I said, are trying to brainwash young people and convert them into gay people. So before this gender ideology hysteria broke out in Bulgaria, this happened last year in 2018, before that the word gender was marginally known, mostly in academic circles, because a few of my own colleagues at my Department of English and American Studies were trying to translate the most important gender theories into Bulgarian, and they were struggling with the word itself, because gender, if you just use the same word in Bulgarian, it's a foreign word. It has this foreignness about it. So they were looking for Bulgarian equivalents, but they were not very successful because each Bulgarian word had different connotations which took the discourse in a very different direction. So none of them were ideal, none of the three, four options they were playing around with. So for 3 decades, they were unable to popularize, to make the term gender mainstream. And then all of a sudden, in 2018, everybody was talking about genders. You can hear taxi drivers telling, naming other people as genders. Even nationalists, who are anti-gender by definition, they accuse each other of being genders. So it's a very absurd discourse taken to extremes. So this is as a kind of introduction to the topic. There was this extreme fear blown out of proportion that genders were threatening the traditional gender roles, that genders were threatening the traditional family, that they were trying to convert children into gays and lesbians and something else, sexless creatures. And this is how the word gender became a buzzword and turned its meaning around, from meaning the social aspects of being a man or a woman. It started to signify, of course, in the discourse of certain people, not in the discourse of academics, but in the mouths of many people, it started to signify not having any gender, actually the opposite of what it means. So before I begin my presentation, I would like to start with... Yes, I wanted to just minimize it and show a video of the Alice in Wonderland ballet, the Queen of Hearts. And tell me if you see any genders in this.
Thank you.
we'll stop here. You got the idea about this video? Weird. Okay. Done. Ooh. So, continue. I'm sorry, I'm completely lost with this computer, but I hope I'll manage. So, this is the video, and this is a Facebook comment between two university teachers. I won't say professors because they were junior scholars, but one of them says, "I don't like genders, but this one is wonderful." Now, this is a university professor, not a taxi driver. "Where did you see gender?" The other one says, "Zinaida Yanovsky is a very tall ballerina. In classical ballet, there is no gender." "This is a woman?" "Oh yes, it's a prima ballerina, it's that, don't be misled by the makeup." "Very glad to hear that. She dances divinely, terribly brave and confident, more like a man." You know, there are ways that women are supposed to dance, and if you dance confidently, you are a man, you are a gender. So I was really disturbed by the fact that this was a discourse that was happening between university people. And I went on to first to check on Zinaida Yanovsky, and you can see she does look like a woman without the makeup. She's all right. She is tall indeed, but, you know, women happen to be tall from time to time. Even though this is another issue that I'm worried about recently, we tend to think that women are shorter than men, you know, and it's so obvious that it is so because most women marry taller men. So when you see a pair, there's always the shorter woman and the taller man. You know, if we didn't have this stereotype, if people married people of different sizes, we would probably, we won't see height as such an important marker of femininity. Because there are, you know, in general, if you calculate, if you have some general estimates, I suppose that women will be shorter in principle. But we have turned height into a marker of femininity and masculinity. And this is one of the problems, and this is why she is termed as gender. So then I went on to explore other discourses around gender in Bulgarian public discourse. And the particular occasion which gave rise to this, I needed to introduce this and give you some more context, is that in 2018, the Istanbul Convention for the European Council Convention against violence against women and domestic violence was supposed to be ratified by Bulgaria. It had been signed already, but it had to be ratified. And this is what caused this massive campaign against it, and a few parties were decided not to allow that to happen. That is why we had this discourse around gender. So these are, there were protests organized by certain parties, organizations, and these are some of the slogans which you could see at those events. So during Turkish yoke, this is the scariest period in our history. For nearly five centuries, we were under Ottoman occupation. So during Turkish yoke, they took our children away to be Yeniseris. Am I pronouncing it right, Amy? Do you know? Yeniseris. This is like they take the little boys, 11, 12 year boys, and they turn them into soldiers. Now they want to take them away in Europe to be genders. You see, the European Union in the role of the occupier taking our children away, taking them away from us and turning them into something something we don't want them to be. Some more of what am I doing? Okay, perhaps I should use this. This one is quite interesting. Bulgaria is against social sex. You know, Bulgaria could be against diameters, Bulgaria could be against square roots, but in this case, it is against social sex. You know, it's something that doesn't exist, so we don't want it in Bulgaria. Some more slogans say religious studies, not gender studies. We're talking about laïcité today and the importance of not having religion interfere into your social public life. But in Bulgaria, there is a revival of religion being imposed on us. This is coming largely from Russia, who have politicized the Orthodox religion and trying to impose it on everybody as a cultural norm. This is happening in Bulgaria, but I have to say that through evangelical Americans, there is another route for religion coming back into our lives. And this is quite disturbing, quite scary. There is no third sex. Gender convention means violence against the normal person. So violence against women may be bad, but violence against the normal person is much worse. Then there is no social sex from the previous slogan, and the Istanbul Convention out. This one says the Istanbul Convention does not aim to help those suffering. It aims to introduce gender dictatorship. You know, a convention which tries to find ways to prevent violence and abuse of women is introducing a gender dictatorship. Why? Because somewhere in the articles, it's a long convention, 30 plus pages, but somewhere in the articles it defines that women are not only biological women, but also people who identify with women, so that those people, intersex people, trans people, could also get some protection. You know, the premise here is that if they're not real women, they are not worthy of protection. They should be beaten and killed, presumably. So another radio interview went further and asked people in the street, do you know what gender is? And this is what a few people, lay people in the street said. Well, it's sex, pol. Well, Bulgarian word is pol. And it's quite fortunate that in Bulgarian, pol does not refer to the sexual activity that the English word refers to, so it's very neutral, it's okay. It's sex. Actually, this is not sex, but to choose between one of the two sexes. So it's the choice you have. Gender means simply sex. Gender is something completely made up. It doesn't exist. It's sex. I think it's the neuter one, the middle thing, the it kind of thing. A man who changes his sex, most probably. Gender is a very complex question. I think this is a person with different inclinations in the sexual orientation. And non-traditional sexual orientation, it could be bisexual or transsexual. Some more answers. Well, I'm not clear about that. People are talking about it a lot, but I could not get what gender is. And he's quite right. People were talking a lot, but nobody gave a very clear definition. And I mean nobody, because the people who knew what gender was were not invited to the TV studios to explain. No, not that we didn't know, but nobody asked us to explain. Instead, we had these ultra-nationalists with very extreme views who always misuse the words gender, and you will see examples of this in a minute. It could be a mixture of man and woman. These are people with a rather undetermined sex, meaning they aren't certain what they are. Mixed up sexual inclinations which do not correspond to what the creator intended. You know, we should all comply with what the creator intended. And then between man and woman. Now, you may think that this is what lay people think, and perhaps they are misinformed, but this is what the media did with the term in 2018. A Bulgarian gender was not allowed on a plane, a news site informs. So this was a person who transitioned from man to woman, and she didn't change her passport, so she looked like a woman, but she had a male name, so she was not allowed on a plane. You can see the newspaper had no problem calling her a gender. Now, we have a doctor here who says gays in our country are over 150,000, birth rate plummeting because of genders. You open the article and you see that the doctor did not say that thing exactly. He said that gays were the reason for the birth rates plummeting, but the newspaper was quick to grasp the word gender because it's more interesting, more graphic, more fun. Everybody recognizes it now, so this word was put in the mouth of a professional in a white coat who is supposed to be an authority on things. Then this is one of the most widely circulated dailies, which says, gender agents from the Bulgarian Academy of Sciences were bought for $24,000. I want to explain what this refers to. There was a project conducted by the Bulgarian Academy of Sciences, the Institute for Sociological Studies, and they were supposed to go to the schools and make questionnaires with school teachers, see something about their gender attitudes and perhaps train them in some ways. And for this, they got funding to the amount of $24,000. You know, because when you do research, when you have a lot of professionals working on it, you need money for that. But of course, it was framed as being bought by America. And as a result of this wave of negativity, of outrage at how can the Bulgarian Academy of Sciences have a gender project, the very word gender now meant something very, very horrible, the project was stopped because the minister, who had nothing about against gender, he didn't want to get in trouble. He realized that it was a very risky enterprise now to support a gender project, so he said, well, since there is such a reaction, we are withdrawing the project, relax. So the Bulgarian Academy of Sciences stopped the gender project, the headline says, and the subtitle says, the Ministry of Education also opposed brainwashing in schools. It refers to a statement by the minister who said, of course, we don't want gender ideology to enter our schools. I think he wasn't clear what this gender ideology referred to, but he got it from the news sites and he wanted to be on the safe side and say, no, no gender ideology. Then things get even more out of hand. This is a person from a lawyer from an institute for, let me think what it was. He was an institute for, I can't remember the name of the institute now, sorry. But anyway, he is a person with a very high profile in society. This institute studies business, economics and things, and they also make public statements. So he said, Borislav Tsekov shared shocking information, genders working uninterrupted by the government. And there is a document. So imagine some genders working and the government does nothing to stop them from working. Then this is the Minister of Education who said about the gender project of the Bulgarian Academy of Sciences, it won't get approval. So relax, everybody be happy. Things get more interesting here with the member of European Parliament, Angel Jambaski, one of the people that we were happy to get rid of in Bulgaria, but then unfortunately he went to the European Parliament to make more damage. So he was worried about the pension system because of gender pensioners. I want you to guess why would somebody become a gender pensioner? So, I categorically declare that we are against criminalizing sexual orientation. He spends a lot of time in Brussels, so he knows that he shouldn't be too extreme in his views. But we are also against the artificial introduction of terms such as social sex, gender, and the vague and liable to multiple interpretations breaking of stereotypes. This is what the Istanbul Convention says. We need to break traditional gender stereotypes. You know, the man does the work, goes to work and makes the money, and the woman stays at home and cooks and takes care of the children. These are the stereotypes, but he doesn't want them broken. And then, as a member of European Parliament and vice chairman of the organization, VMRO, which is also part of the government coalition at the moment, so it's quite vocal. I asked the question, what will happen to our pension system if every person who has a male sex decided just before retiring that he is a woman and asserts his pretensions to retire as a woman a few years earlier? Now, if you think that being an old man in Bulgaria is fun, imagine what being an old woman is and how many men would like to become old women in Bulgaria just for the sake of a few years earlier retirement. But now we have the term gender pensioners. And on top of it all, I present to you the first woman chairman, I should say, because she is very much against gender ideology herself. The first chairman of the Bulgarian Socialist Party, who, of course, are supposed to be all for equality, but instead they are for traditional values, it turns out. She says, no to gender ideology in Bulgarian schools. Let's develop traditional and digital education. I think this is a fantastic combination, both being traditional and digital, you know. They go together as perfect collocation. Family values are more dear to us than the third sex. Bulgarian society does not accept this ideology. Don't introduce it into schools. We are losing our children. Their heads are being brainwashed with pseudo-values. We need to counter that with our real values. Okay? And then we have another academic, a professor, a very high-profile person, and somebody who appears in all the TV studios on every topic possible, from immigration to gays to probably vaccines to anything that you can think of. The thing is, he's a professor in mathematics, so he doesn't know that much about social issues, but he is an expert on social issues now and often invited. So he says that, in an article that he has called Rise and Fall of the Bulgarian Gender, he says in the Istanbul Convention, they talk about violence against women, but mean violence against genders, which is a problem. It's okay, we can counter violence against women, but why should genders be safe from violence? There comes Conchita Wurst, you know who she is? Mm-hmm. Okay, claiming to be a woman, but looks somewhat bearded to me. Fifth, he gives a number of points, and fifth, why is the explanatory report to the convention full of genders, transvestites, transsexuals? Does anyone know the difference? Gays, lesbians, bisexuals, migrants, refugees, women in burqas, gypsies, AIDS sufferers, etc. Look at the gradation of obnoxious people, you know, ending with AIDS sufferers. Of course, we have nothing against such people. You know, we're very tolerant people. And the people with digressions have the exact same rights as everyone else. We just don't want to make space for them. They have every right, but we don't want to give them more than they have. So this is how an academic frames the gender discourse. And he continues, right after the Istanbul Convention was rejected in Bulgaria, and this happened a year ago yesterday, on the 6th of March, he appeared in the main Bulgarian state TV channel, and he said that the constitution and... this is what the title of the studio announced, so Constitution in Istanbul Convention, Politics and Scandals, Studio Commentary, Bulgarian National Television. You know, the TV itself often frames this discourse in terms of a scandal, a controversy. You know, people have to know that there's some real problem. So Mikhail Konstantinov said, this convention could never pass in the Bulgarian parliament. There is no serious party to support it. For GERB, I'll explain in a minute, this is such a hot potato that two-thirds of the party don't want. They fall from power the minute they accept it. Now, GERB is our ruling party, and it has been ruling for quite a few years now. The abbreviation stands for Citizens for European Development of Bulgaria, but it is more of a facade behind which they just try to get along. I wouldn't say they have any ideology, much like the Socialist Party, but they pretend to be center-right. The communist, the Socialist Party, they were former communists, but they named themselves socialists in the new times. They're more, they should be left-oriented, although their policies are very much right-oriented anyway. And as you can see, their ideology is also very right-wing. But GERB is the only party which supported the Istanbul Convention, even though half-heartedly, a bit like Labour in Britain supporting Brexit, you know, not really, but at least on the face of it, they were behind it, and they tried to explain, not very convincingly, but when they saw that there was such a major public outcry, backlash against it, they withdrew their support. And anyway, within the party, there were also infights, and not everybody agreed to support it anyway. So he is verbalizing this observation that even within GERB, the only party which supported the convention, not many people actually stood behind it. And he continues, the convention contains an anti-scientific, anti-human term called gender. It was invented by a lesbian. Can you guess which lesbian that is? It's Judith Butler. It was invented by a lesbian and has been rejected by the scientific community. It tries to introduce sexless creatures. Now, this person, a professor of mathematics, is well-versed in gender theory, so he tells you things as they are. Things get even more interesting when the Bulgarian Orthodox Church joined the debate, and they made an important contribution to Indo-European linguistics by claiming that the word gender comes from gendem, which in Turkish, which we use in Bulgaria, though a Bulgarian word which we borrowed from Turkish, gendem means hell. Now, I wonder whether the Holy Synod is connected to sin in some way, perhaps, but it didn't occur to him. He withdrew this claim later. He realized that it was ridiculous, even him, but it was hilarious. And this is a Bulgarian sociolinguist who clarifies the point that gendem comes through Turkish, from Arabic, where it came from Hebrew, corresponding to the Greek gena, which came to old Church Slavonic as gena, a synonym of hell. So not really genetically related to gender. But it was fun for a while to claim so. And then the church got even more inventive and they organized mass prayers against the convention. And Father Alexander Lashkov, another high-profile church person, said, Europe is pressing us hard to accept the Istanbul Convention, and people are right to protest against these absurd traditions and practices alien to, not to Bulgarian society, but to human society. You know, the church speaks for all humanity. And this is my favorite part, in the intellectual circles. Now, he has to read this very carefully because he cannot reproduce it on his own. He says, in the intellectual circles of Europe, there is one Judith Butler who claims that gender sex is a phantasm. It is not anatomy, but a discursively created physicality. Gender is not something finite, but a fluid state, a permanent possibility. It is not based in biology, but is an invention. I had to roll with laughter to hear this Judith Butler quoted by a church person, an Orthodox person, but obviously there are these talking points which have been distributed and people repeat them again and again. And you can hear now Judith Butler as a household name. Everybody knows about Judith Butler suddenly. I bet that if they tried to read her, they wouldn't make any sense out of her text. But he's given this quote, and he's reading it on Bulgarian TV. And now to dispel the myths around gender, there was a conference, an event organized by my university, Sophia University. Let's see if I have a mouse here. So this is the rector of the university. This is the chair of the Bulgarian parliament. The ombudsman is there. This is the British ambassador. A few other important embassy representatives were there. But also you can see at the background those guys with the black hats. And this 2 hour plus discussion turned into a cacophony, and everybody was shouting on top of each other and abusing everybody who tried to explain what gender was. People were being quite mean to the ambassador as well. And there was no real result out of this discussion, apart from this guy who said that because of the Istanbul Convention, he calls for the separation of ministers from the church. They have to be expelled from the church, all these ministers who voted for the convention. And he said something else which I find very interesting. We live in a post-new liberal world. Quite a few prefixes that he's put together. And there is a liberal mob there who pushes us to absurdities of this kind. So, you know, they're well-versed now in the post-new liberal critical discourse. Now, before I move on, I want to explain. This obviously was a very hotly debated issue. Europe was trying, the European Commission was trying hard to explain. I'm sorry, but I'm getting Commission and Council mixed up. If somebody knows what the right word is, please help. I got them confused. But anyways, they were trying to explain what gender was. They were trying to explain that the Istanbul Convention had nothing to do with third sex. We're not trying to introduce it into the Bulgarian way of life. They were trying to calm things down and just bring the original meanings of words, what gender meant. But it was to no avail, because the government got so scared by the backlash that it decided to pass the hot potato to the Bulgarian Constitutional Court, who would have to decide whether the Istanbul Convention complied with the Bulgarian Constitution. This was a very clever move, and of course the Constitutional Court collected a lot of evidence and a lot of opinions, mostly from the conservative side of the debate, and came up with the brilliant conclusion that despite its undoubtedly positive sides, the convention is internally incoherent, and this contradiction creates a second layer in it, shifting its meaning beyond its declared aims: protection of women from violence. The point of contention is the concept of gender and gender identity mentioned once in Article 4.3. In the convention's flawed unofficial translation, the Bulgarian word for sex, po, is used for gender as well, making it indistinguishable from sex. If society, the Constitutional Court continues, if society loses the ability to distinguish between a woman and a man, combating violence against women would only be a formal but unenforceable commitment. Do you understand what they're saying? If we cannot tell if a person is a man or a woman, how can we protect women? So do away with this, because unless we can only protect women, we're in trouble. So as a conclusion, they said the Council of Europe Convention on Preventing, and so Council of Europe is the institution behind this, on preventing and combating violence against women and domestic violence, known as the Istanbul Convention, does not correspond to the Bulgarian Constitution. As a result, it was very easy now by Parliament to reject ratification of the Convention. But even more worryingly, when a couple of months later the European Union decided to make a wholesale ratification of the convention, there was the argument that because it was against our Bulgarian constitution, the European Union could not accept it for the whole of it. So we are now the Trojan horse in the European Union with regards to this convention. And to get things a bit clearer and to remind you what gender was supposed to mean, I'm quoting Bridget O'Loughlin, who was executive secretary for the Istanbul Convention on behalf of the Council of Europe. I say was because she was replaced now. So she says very clearly and simply, sex refers to biological characteristics that define humans as female and male, while gender encapsulates socially constructed roles, behaviors, and activities that a given society considers appropriate for men and women. Thus, gender refers to expected roles for women and men, and how too often these roles are defined by outdated stereotypes that can make violence against women, intimidation, and fear more acceptable. And indeed, there is a wave of violence against women at the moment. It is related to changing concepts of gender and to a reversal to more traditional roles. It's quite clear because you can see it in the discourse of men online and often in the discourse of women online as well. And at a time when gender in English has acquired multiple collocations, I checked the Oxford English Dictionary in 1989, the second edition, it had about 3 pages on gender, and in 2011, I think is the third edition, it had about 31 pages. So you can see how the term has grown. In Bulgaria, we are ready to add a new meaning to gender, quite different. So, as a summary, the assault on gender was visible from this presentation by multiple agents. Probably I'm not giving a full list, but these are the ones I identified. So we have the Orthodox Church. We have the ruling party's coalition partners, Vemiros and nationalists. We have the opposition, supposedly the Bulgarian Socialist Party. We have a lot of journalists. We have academics such as Professor Mikhail Konstantinov. We have NGOs such as Society and Values, Evangelicals. We have institutes such as the Institute for Modern Politics, the name that I couldn't retrieve. And what is really worrying is that just like the Flat Earth Society, which has members around the globe, it seems that this anti-gender campaign also has supporters around the globe. It's not just a Bulgarian phenomenon. It has it has its tentacles now in Brazil, in the United States, in I believe in Western Europe there are also campaigns against it. So it is a truly global phenomenon now. And one of the most important targets of the anti-gender movement in Europe is public schools. A lot of debates go around education and the educational process. It is believed that gender theory has leaked into public schools and that pupils are being sexualized and brainwashed by radical feminist ideology and homosexual propaganda. For these reasons, groups of concerned parents are being organized across Europe to protest against the alleged infringement of their rights to educate their children in accordance with their religious and philosophical conventions. And just to give you an example of something very recent happening in education, and I will be finishing very soon, I hope. For once, there was another major outcry, and of course there is. Every day there is a new scandal around gender because the European elections are approaching, so the nationalists and other reactionary forces need to keep attention on them. So the first outcry was about a questionnaire which school children had to fill in. It was sent by the European Commission and it was a standard form in which the children had to answer questions about digital literacy. And the final question was, are you male or female or other, or I don't want to answer? This is the standard response in most questionnaires. You know, you have two options and then something other and then I don't want to say. Of course, this was seen as an invasion of gender ideology through the educational system. And now the Bulgarian minister has been pressed to write to the European Commission and ask them to change the questionnaire, which was distributed routinely around Europe. The other scandal was around a gay brochure, which was distributed in several Bulgarian schools. It gave information about how to prevent sexually transmitted diseases. It had some more explicit images. But it turned out that the brochure was not supposed to be distributed in schools. It was printed out in 2005 and it was targeted at specific gay communities to be distributed through medical centers, I suppose. But then somebody, probably intentionally, distributed it in schools in order to create a scandal around it. And then the media joined in. And the third really crazy scandal is now we are very upset in Bulgaria that the French authorities are introducing parent one and parent two in school documents instead of mother and father. Now, if you look at a Bulgarian student book, you will see that there is a space for parent or guardian, and it's been so for the last 50 years. But we're so upset by the French having parent one and parent two now that this is another major scandal. So our public space is filled by such made-up scandals around gender, people finding it very hard to come to terms with people's differences, with gay people, with trans people, with women's rights. There is a serious backlash against everything that people had achieved in the last decades. And as George Lakoff, a famous linguist, cognitive linguist, says, what is at stake in this case, what is at stake is the conservative moral hierarchy which is trying to get imposed on us once again. We've lived in a liberal world for some 50 years after the 1960s. We've walked towards more and more liberal values. But now we are told once again that God is above man, that man is above nature, that discipline is above undiscipline, that rich is above poor, that employers are above employees, adults above children, Western over other cultures, America over other countries, men above women, of course, whites above non-whites, Christians above non-Christians, and straights versus gays. So all these values are trying to be reintroduced, and this and this gender ideology is part of the made-up fear of the new coming our way, and a way to go back to a past when things were all right, things were in the natural order that God ordained. So, in conclusion, I wanted to say that we need to reclaim the word feminism the way that Hillary Clinton reclaimed the word nasty, perhaps. And we need to all become feminists and not be ashamed, because now being a feminist is a word of shame in Bulgaria. We need to reclaim it, we need to embrace it once again, and we need to really give up a fight when we thought that we could relax and we thought that things had gotten to a state of progress, that things were going in the right direction. Things are very much being pushed backwards, and we need to really oppose this trend if we believe in equality, if we believe in secularism, if we believe in human rights, if we believe in women's rights and all those progressive values that I think that we counted on for many years. I'm going to stop here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So yes, thank you very much for this presentation. Thank you for making us smile or laugh when about something that is not funny at all.
It's not.
I was trying to remember, I think there was something in France a couple of years ago about primary schools. Didn't they want to introduce some sort of gender studies, and the conservative mm-hmm. government
probably, yeah,
rejected it? Does mm-hmm. it mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There was something
there
similar
was a
here.
Problem about the time that Macron was elected, mm-hmm. it was part of the election, controversies, as people were thinking that gender studies was equivalent to converting children to be gay.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's a big misunderstanding mm-hmm. about the many pro tous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
In questions? Reactions? Mm-hmm. Yes?
I didn't understand the meaning of social sex. Could you explain?
Of social sex? Yeah. Social sex is the translation of gender in Bulgarian. It means the sexual aspects of being a man or a woman. The social, not the sexual, the social aspects. So one of the translations, because we have the word sex, so to make it split into biological and social, we called it social sex instead of gender for a while. And this is what created a confusion partly in the translation of the document, because people were using different terms and switching between them a bit indiscriminately. So there was a translation problem, but it wasn't a major problem. It was more like picking up absurdities out of, like, making an elephant out of a fly, as we say.
You had a question to that?
Yeah. Do you think there's hope or some sort of silver lining for people who are gender neutral or trans women in Bulgaria, or is it a dead?
Out of this whole hysteria. Well, the silver lining is that the same that women are doing in the United States, they're mobilizing, they're fighting back, and they're trying to become more visible. So this is the silver lining, but it's a hard time for all of us. We do feel threatened. I do post a lot of things about gender on my Facebook wall. I get into numerous fights, including with close people, who just think I'm overreacting, overdoing things on gender. What's the problem with being gay? Gays are having a great time in Bulgaria. No, they're not. What's the problem with being a woman? You have all, you have equality now. What are you fighting for? You want to rule over men, You want to, you're men haters, that sort of thing. And I have to explain again and again. But the good thing is, yes, that we can put the question on the table, and I'm hoping that by after the term gender became so salient, now we can probably slowly put back the original meaning into it. So, but that's a good question, thank you. Always look for the silver lining.
And are there gay clubs and discos and restaurants or
not
gay bars in Sofia, for example?
I'm not part of gay culture, so I wouldn't know a lot about that. I think there are some, but back in the 90s, there was one huge gay club at the in the underground below Sofia University, so a very central place. And it was popular and everybody could go there. Yes, people did giggle about it, but nobody objected really to gay people. But now the situation has changed and we are being turned back to a previous state when we there was gay phobia. In communist times, there were no gays visible. You know, they had to hide. And now we are going back to a similar situation. And it is becoming scary to admit that you're gay. And a few years ago, I noticed it with my students. A few years ago, I would usually get a couple of presentations every year on gay rights. Now, people, students are expressing much more extreme homophobic views, including women, girls, who say, but what's wrong with, if I say that women are disadvantaged and I say they're being told to stay home and cook, and she says, but what's wrong with staying home and cooking? You know, you may like it. I said, yes, all right, what are you doing here in this classroom? Go home and cook, you know? And she was furious, but I was even more furious because women are raising these arguments now, and it's very upsetting. So there's a shift, I can feel it. Within 4 or 5 years, I can feel this shift. My colleague, who is much more advanced in gender studies, who's working on this this topic since the 90s, she was shocked. She came back from the United States, and she said, in previous years, I could go into the depths of gender theory, and now it's a very basic type of conversation and a very fierce argument about why do we need gender studies? So
I wasn't quite, I'm not sure I fully understood. Is it, how much is it linked to religion? Because you said, you know, the religious crowd got into the debate, but they're not leading it, are they?
They are an active part of it. It's the Orthodox Church in Bulgaria, but there is also the Evangelicals, as I said. And what is quite disturbing is that some of the Evangelicals are in very high political positions. For example, one of the most fierce Evangelicals is head of the press secretariat of the Ministry of Defense. So he uses his position, he uses his profile. He's also a writer, he's also an actor, so a very visible public figure. And he spews hatred and he makes very threatening statements about liberals. It's really, really disturbing.
No other question?
Yes, but this is a silly, basic one. You were talking about earlier retirement for women. Is that because, you know, different countries, different rules about retirement. Mm-hmm. So women have specific advantages?
I would think so, yes. I think they retire at 65 and the men retire at 68, but it's too far for me to think about it. So sorry, I haven't checked.
It's okay. I understand. Yeah. But that's very interesting to take. Yeah. Sort of, you know, to use the political discourse in that way.
Yeah.
As you were suggesting, it's so extreme. And what about religion being linked to politics to some degree? So
it is, gang. Mm-hmm.
And potentially even Russian influence on gender as well as on, you know, on the notion of gender as well as on religious influence.
It is happening very much. And I don't know, do we have internet here?
Okay.
Okay. I wanted to show you one video, and perhaps we can finish.
I wanted you to say a few words about Adichie's book that you've put.
Adichie's book. Yeah. Well, it's just a call. I don't have a lot to say. We watched a video with my students about we should all be feminists. Mm-hmm. So it was more like a call that we should keep the feminist agenda as a top priority, and we should fight for equality, because it isn't a battle that we've won yet. So let's see if I can write.
We need some help pushing keyboard.
I think not. I'm not sure which keywords to use, but I think it will come. Yes, this one. This is a bit extreme,
so
probably.
BBC3
not all
this
Orthodox.
Conversation between a feminist and a hardline Russian Orthodox Christian.
People are like that.
I lost about 30 seconds of it before I decided to do this video because it's the goddamn wokest thing you've ever seen in your life. Let's watch. Already, just this is just the best thing in the world.
Sorry,
well, let's be honest. It's hard to find a beautiful feminist.
I don't want to watch this video with the commentary, so I'll try to find another one. And now I remember the name. Is it the same one?
It's the same.
No, not because, I don't think so, because there is no the written.
Okay.
И выступает в основном феминистки очень страшно. Я ни одной красивой феминистки не вижу.
Okay.
И феминистки завидуют таким красивым девчонкам, как вы, и поэтому стараются испортить им жизнь.
It's interesting you should say that, Gavin, because I would say that I am a feminist.
Конечно, я
definitely a feminist.
Я поэтому и сказал.
That assumption isn't perhaps quite right.
Я поэтому и сказал, что вы относитесь к тем красивым девочкам, о которым феминистки запудрили голову. И вы, поскольку девчонки, они симпатичные и немного глупенькие, поэтому у вас легко обманывают.
Okay, so is that your advice to me? I should turn my back on feminism so that I can provide for my man and have children?
Yes.
Okay.
И держу. И я от всего сердца желаю вам мужа. который будет для вас господином и хозяином, а вы будете его рабой и любящей женой.
Well, thank you for the advice. Also, I can't live on fresh air, so I need to work. Do you think I could speak to your wife?
Я разрешу ей ответить на некоторые ваши вопросы.
Алена, иди ответишь на несколько вопросов.
Hello, Alyona. Would you be quite happy to receive a slap, receive a punch from your husband if you both felt it was warranted?
Конечно, конечно. Это естественно. Это любые взаимоотношения. Я написала книгу «Муж убитый». Вы ее прочтите. Там есть ответы на ваши вопросы.
So, you've wrote a book saying why you should be beaten by your husband. Can I have a copy?
Название «Муж убитый». Она есть в электронной версии в интернете.
You can Google it.
Ну, знаете, когда женщина остается женщиной, понимает, что она женщина, что она под мужем, у нее всегда все получится. Мы мутировали. То есть женщины, они не стали мужчинами, но не стали, и перестали быть женщинами. Превратились в таких мутантов.
Do you mind me asking how many times you have had to discipline your wife?
I don't remember.
Do you remember, perhaps? Because I'm sure you felt it.
Вы знаете, женщины, конечно, злобные существа, и все помнят. Но я говорю, прочтите мою книгу, там все на для молодежи.
Не углубляйся, не углубляйся. Не углубляйся, выходи.
Okay.
Answer your question.
Sorry.
Yeah. Europe is in the grip of a huge migration crisis.
Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Sorry. Remember 3 years ago, maybe the Russian Parliament,
Duma.
Decide that
it was legal to beat your wife, yeah, as long as it's less than twice a year and as long as you don't send her to hospital.
Yeah. And I watched a testimony from parents who lost their daughter because she was killed by her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And the police recorded the phone call of the girl before she was killed. Uh-huh. And she said, help me, I'm going to
be killed.
To be killed. And,
and they said, tell us when you're dead, call us when you're dead or something.
But are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. He says he's going to kill me. And the policeman said in very cold tone, when? We're going to home and we get your body.
Yes, that's true. I remember this case as well. Yes. If this happens, we'll come and collect your body. There's nothing we can do now. It's true. We had several cases of murdered women in Bulgaria in domestic violence by their partners. All of them contained several calls to the police before that. No effect. And the Istanbul Convention had the power to prevent this by education, by creating crisis centers, by removing people from their vulnerable positions. And also, if you place the complaint, a lot of women get scared or intimidated, and then they withdraw it. But the Istanbul Convention said that once a complaint has been placed, it has to be followed through. So there were a lot of practical measures to make sure that violence is not completely exterminated, but really controlled.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's leave.
And we have this, this system of protecting and crisis center for women.
Yeah.
A lot of people consider that this is not sufficient to protect
mm-hmm.
them because
it's not.
We all repeat that every day one woman on three are killed by.
That's true. Yeah, France also has this problem. But.
Okay, right. This is very
interesting.
Yeah,
I know. We have to move on. Yeah,
so
I know.
So I suppose we have a good clap again.
Thank you.